2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Bold Calls NBA DFS podcast for January 17th, 2019. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. Joining me, as always, the one, the only, Mr. Bear here. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Oh, you know, just getting ready for a little bit of Knicks and Wizards over in London. Enjoying that, get a little, matinee basketball going. Got a, nice little 5-game slate and, we've got a nice little hammer game going between our boys.
Yeah. If you look at the bottom, of the Twitch page, those are the two teams going at it tonight.
So we've got a lot to, Yeah, we've got a lot to get through, and it's going to be a fun night. But I want to kind of recap a little bit about last night, real quick. We obviously weren't able to do the pod. You had some stuff that you had to take care of for your other job, and my 2-year-old decided that he didn't want to take a nap. Ooh. That was really tough. I want to go ahead and knock a couple things out while we can here. Going back to FanDuel last night, okay, and mainly just the slate in general, we had a couple different instances. Obviously, you know, Giannis was on the slate, Durant, Curry, Anthony Davis, James Harden. They were all on the slate. And it was brought to my attention that through nobody brought this to my attention. I saw this and noticed it, that the winning lineup last night in my tournament put up a 377.5 without the likes of, one said, James Harden and Anthony Davis. Now, with this came a lot of creativity, I guess is what you would call it. And I want to kind of run through this lineup here real quick. And then I'm going to kind of go through my lineup, which was still good, still put up a 320 that had both Harden and Davis in it. And we can kind of dissect this real quick. Since it's a nice little 5-game slate, I think we've got a little bit of time we can spend on this. This guy's lineup was both Curry's, Steph and Seth. And the reason that we liked, or that I was kind of on Seth a little bit, was that I was kind of thinking that Dame might sit against Cleveland. I was originally going to just use him as a drop scorer and candidate. And then if, you know, it happened to blow out, he would have got extra run. But he gets around 18 to 20 minutes of run anyways. It's just whether or not he gets hot from the field and does anything with it. The shooting guards were Jrue Holiday and Andre Iguodala. Small forwards were Kevin Durant and Jay Crowder. And we were all over Jay Crowder yesterday. All of us were.
Oh, yeah.
Then you had Draymond Green and PJ Tucker as the power forwards. And Jared Allen, who was in my original player pool but didn't make the cut, as the center. Now, the big thing here that I want to kind of address is the ownership percentages of one James Harden and Anthony Davis compared to Kevin Durant, PJ Tucker, and Steph Curry. Steph, these three guys were all more owned, higher owned in this tournament than James Harden and Anthony Davis. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean anything except for basically the price scared a lot of people away. The price of Anthony Davis was 13.7. The price of James Harden was, 14K. That's $27,700 of your $60,000 salary cap. And you're left with basically 32.3 left. Now, that's not a lot to do with. Incomes, guys like Jalen Brunson at 3,700, Justin Holiday at 3,700. And it forced me to kind of take a chance on a guy. I had $600 left in salary cap, but I loved the rest of this lineup. It also had Joe Harris, Al-Farouq Aminu, who was kind of a little bit of a letdown considering the price, and Kevon Looney, who was amazing. Scored 36.9. Justin Holiday turned it off at the end, but it forced me to kind of play into Colin Sexton a little bit. Now,
yeah,
I didn't like Colin Sexton at all yesterday. He was more tolerable on DK than on FanDuel. I didn't like it. Not really the matchup because it's fine. He's too scoring dependent for me for a point guard. And it was something that was really, really, really kind of hard to swallow. Now, I still scored a 320, but I was obviously way off of the pack of the 377. But fading James Harden and Anthony Davis, who put up 153 fantasy points between the two of them, gave me a little bit of an uneasy feeling when it came to the actual construction.
Yeah.
And it was really, really, really bad. And I think that's the issue there. Now, I don't normally compare myself to like winning lineups unless they're like this kind of a roster construction. I didn't think Anthony Davis was going to be under, he was 16.3% owned. I didn't foresee that at all. I figured that he would be higher owned than Harden, especially when the lineup for the Rockets came out and Eric Gordon was back. But Curry being 40% really shocked me yesterday.
Yes and no. Because the first thing I noticed was I noticed the totals, right? I noticed that entire game was chock full, and rightfully so. Like, I had a few tournament lineups that I did that where I basically stacked that game, with the exception of Looney. Unfortunately, I went a little too heavy on Tristan Thompson. But outside of that, like, I had, so my high dollar SE entry was hard. I showed it in my channel earlier, was Harden and Anthony Davis. And frankly, you know, not playing Tristan Thompson, I take first. So there's no one right or wrong way to construct those lineups. Like, I had other lineups that had, you know, Steph and Doncic and other really high scoring guys, right? And they didn't do nearly as well as my AD and Harden lineup did. But also, I didn't have Jamike, and I didn't have, you know, some of the other guys that were needed. So, having said all that, man, I don't want anyone to think that there's one way to construct the lineup. There's not, right? You could have played AD and Harden and still won thousands of dollars. You could have not played either and won thousands of dollars. It's really all about getting your 10K guys right. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, you know, Luka Doncic, who's not 10K, but close.
You were in the Monster last night, right?
The putback.
Putback. Okay. What would have... I don't normally like doing this because it's not a good way to kind of compare and contrast, but what was the winning score in the putback last night?
I just shared that. Let me take a look here. I think it was like 369-ish.
Okay. Oops. That's for today. I'm trying to go to yesterday's monster. Okay, so
yeah, it was 369.5.
Yeah.
And then the winner of the NBA shot, which is the 100K to first, was 392.
Okay. So, like, and you got, okay, so I want to clarify this a little bit. This was a qualifier lineup. So I was taking shots and chances with roster construction to kind of leverage low ownership in good spots to kind of, you know, try to put myself ahead of the field. The key to last night was Jared Allen. And
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, on FanDuel, this is why we say, you know, you have to figure out who your center is. When you're trying to construct a lineup, you have to know on FanDuel who has the opportunity to go off at center. We look at a lot of matchups. We look at a lot of, you know, rebounding totals, blocks, stuff like that. Just to give you an idea, he only had 2 assists. He had 24 rebounds. Without Clint Capella in the lineup for Houston, rebounds are going to be a plenty. Absolutely a plenty. And he had 3 blocks. So that's something that we're going to be attacking going forward.
We are. And I just want to also put something else out there. Like, I goofed. And I wasn't coaching. I don't mean I goofed for you guys. But I goofed in terms of, like, I looked at it and I'm like, well, they're starting PJ Tucker at the 5. And they're probably going to run Jared Allen off the court. And that was just kind of my game theory. And unfortunately, I didn't have the time yesterday. As you said, I was out doing business all day. And I had like 25 minutes when I got back to look at stuff to put that lineup together. I'm just looking. I'm like, oh, you know, the Cavs will need Tristan Thompson versus Nurkic. That was literally my thinking. Whereas if I would have just told myself, there's nobody on Houston to stop Allen, versus they're going to outrun Allen, because Allen is mobile. He's not one of those slow laboring bigs. He's fast. He's mobile. Anyways, a lot of that was just, you know, was just not having enough time to kind of break down the matchup there. But that lineup that I showed in my channel earlier, I had $200 left in salary. I go to Allen instead of Tristan Thompson, and it takes first. So I mean, you could have still constructed your roster with the 14K guys and still won.
Yeah, it's, it's just one of those things that you can really, really, I'm trying to pull up that lineup here. Boy, you had a lot of screenshots this morning.
Yeah.
This makes for great radio, by the way, guys.
In there for an hour.
Okay, so I've got it here. It's the one with Augustine and Brunson, right?
Yes.
Put up a 316. Okay, so let's talk about Jalen Brunson here real quick. Jalen Brunson was a guy with DSJ out, Dennis Smith Jr., that we knew was going to be chalkier, and everything about it was, I mean, it was right for the picking. It was against San Antonio. He was going to get Derek White slash you know, who he was going to get a cluster of guys defending him. He's not a high usage guy with Luka Doncic on the court, but he's not so low to where it, you know, doesn't really matter. I mean, he's still around the mid-20s or the low-20s usually when he's on the court with the rest of those starters. Mm-hmm. The problem was is we had him pegged for about 27 to 29 minutes, and he only played 20. Like, you got to understand, when we do these projections and everything, when we miss on the minutes, usually, and either from foul trouble or from them playing horrible and a coach sitting him or whatever, then if we miss on the low side, then it's catastrophic. It really is. And with some of these guys that don't get regular minutes, you have to take that with a grain of salt. Like, you really, really do. The minute consistency needs to be there. And with a guy that's $3,700, the minute consistency isn't going to be there. But he's chalk, and on FanDuel, you have the ability to, you know, have that drop score. So he can't hurt you.
Right.
He can only help you unless you played Ed Davis in your lineup. And then he hurts you, you know. So the thought process behind that was there. Same with Justin Holiday. We got word, I think, 20 minutes before lock, 10 minutes before, or 15 minutes before lock, that he was going to be starting.
Right.
And he was bumped up to, I think, 24 minutes. And he ended up playing 16. He came in and got two quick fouls and ended up sitting until, I think, midway through the fourth. And then played like 10
garbage time.
Yeah, garbage time, and he went off.
Yeah, he did it, but it wasn't even just that. It was. He also made a lot of mistakes, defensive assignments, some of those leading to those fouls, and you know, Coach yanked him.
Yeah, so and so with, but he's min price, so he's, you know.
Yeah, well, he's min price, but let's get something clear. He's min price, and in my lineup, I had him with another min price guy. Right.
Right.
So you need to find those. It doesn't have to be men, but like under 4K price guys that are in spots where they're not going to play. I was okay with accepting the fact that Brunson and Holiday were both going to suck. I accepted it because I put in two guys with 80 potential, right, with Harden and Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between playing two studs and not playing two studs. If you're playing two studs, you have to accept the fact that your value plays might dud because you have to put in more value plays than you normally would.
Right. Like, I mean, this guy that won, he had, you know, four guys under 4,500. One of them was Seth Curry, who still did better than Jalen Brunson for $100 cheaper.
What did he do? I didn't play him. What did he do?
11.2. He had Andre Iguodala and he had Jay Crowder. Well, everybody and their mother was all over Jay Crowder yesterday. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Joe Ingles was questionable. I didn't care if Ingles was playing or not.
I didn't either.
I was all over him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, and then you go look at, you know, Iggy, who sometimes gets run and does well and sometimes gets run and doesn't do well. But you had Seth Curry and Iggy, you know, really competing for that drop score. Both of them had the ability to go off for 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, both of them have the ability to go off for 10. But when you're sitting there going through your lineup construction, you have to figure out exactly, instead of just putting it like, putting in Justin Holiday, and this guy had no Justin Holiday, by the way. Putting in Justin Holiday.
He wasn't that heavily owned.
Yeah, I mean, he was only 17%.
Like yeah, under 20, exactly.
Putting in Justin Holiday allows you that extra wiggle room to put in those studs.
Right.
You know, for me, where I feel like I made my mistakes was really the Al-Farouq Aminu Colin Sexton kind of pairing. Aminu just didn't have a good game. And I'm looking to find out exactly why. Just didn't take enough shots, didn't do enough. I mean, he had 9 rebounds, 14 points, just, you know, just wasn't needed. He did enough within the confines of that offense. He didn't have one of his stellar games. So at that price, that hurt me. And then obviously Colin Sexton, who played 30 minutes, but only took 11 shots, and he only got 1 rebound and 1 assist. It happens. You know, I like your Tristan Thompson play. He only played 21 minutes, only scored 4 points, only took 6 shots. But it happens. The thing is when you go through these lineups and when you go through your lineups at the end of the night, and mainly not your MME lineups, really, you can go back and you can look at your exposures and your player pool and stuff like that, which I always encourage, and say, okay, why was I overweight on this guy? Why did I like this guy so much to where I wanted him in 45-50% when he was only owned by the field by like 10? Then you can look at that stuff. But when you look at your cash lineups, when you look at your single entry GPPs, the one you put thought into, as far as manually constructing, and I always recommend that even if you're playing MME, that you manually construct those lineups. You've got to be able to break it down enough to where you're comfortable admitting that you made a mistake and why you made a mistake,
right?
And being able to reverse engineer those. Yes, the coaches are there to help you. We can give you our ideas. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at, you know, and I know I'm guilty of it, and I know that you're probably guilty of it too. If, you know, somebody were to ask me why I played Colin Sexton in this lineup and he wasn't on my list, I would say I was in a spot. He was the last guy that I was trying to maneuver around. I liked the rest of my lineup. He fit. You know, that's not a good excuse to play somebody in a lineup, but that's what I ended up doing, and it cost me.
What did you finish with?
12.7.
Jesus.
You know, when you're sitting there, you know, showing a coach your lineup, and we assume that if you're showing us a lineup saying, hey, where did I go wrong? Yeah. That you've used our player pool. And so that's the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go back. We're going to look and say, okay, why were you on XYZ when he wasn't a part of our player pool? You know, well, why were you on, you know, this guy when he was listed as a GPP only play? So, yes, we know that that different coaches have different plays. And whether or not they like it for cash or that's great. But understand that that's the first place that we're going to go. And it has nothing to do with, you know, we're trying to attack you. You're coming to us asking us for advice about a lineup that you constructed the night before. And we're going to look at it as if you were going through our player pool enough to where you're just, you know, you're getting our feedback. Usually what a lot of people will do is say, they'll say, oh, he was part of Cash Keg's core, or he was listed as both under Bear. And I'll be like, okay, then that's them. You know, different coaches, different opinions, but understand that when we dissect these things, that that's what we're looking for. And we're coming at it from our own personal views, just like we approach the slates with our own personal views. So,
yeah. Yeah, and one more thing I wanted to talk about too before, and then we really got to dive into today, but,
yep.
But like, so I'm friends with a lot of our members. I'm friends with a lot of our staff. We talk in private DMs. We talk all the time. And so, you know, when I mention some of your names on here, I'm not calling you out. I'm just kind of, I want to make sure that we that we dissect specific plays so we can understand, because some of the guys are members, rather, I don't see some of their plays because they're not sharing that with me. So it's what it is. But like our boy Belch. Yesterday, Belch played DeLon Wright. I can't understand it. There was no reason to play DeLon. The guy wasn't going to get more than 18 minutes. You've got, you know, Kawhi there. You had Lowry there. You had all their full team with the exception of CJ Miles. But and a lot of those minutes, frankly, were going to Norman Powell, not DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright is a GPP only kind of play that you might even play if you're playing FanDuel as a drop scorer kind of guy. Outside of that, there was nothing with DeLon Wright to make you want to play him. Jonas Jerebko, I understand he was on the notes as a drop scorer. You're playing him with the intent of dropping him, not for him to produce. Saying, oh, he killed me. He was on this and this sheet. And forgive me for those of you that have heard me say it 1,000 times, because I have. But for those of you who haven't, you got to hear this. The Pelicans are a big team. They start Julius Randle. They start Anthony Davis. They bring in Mirotić, and they bring in Jahlil Okafor. Those are all legit seven-footers or damn close to seven-footers. Jonas Jerebko is a small ball player. He'll get run versus a team like the Clippers. He'll get run versus the smaller teams. Houston now, right? Those kinds of teams. When you're playing a bigger team, Detroit, Utah, those types of teams, you cannot play your Jerebko and expect him to produce because he does not fit that game. Second example, why were we all over Jay Crowder? Because the Clippers are a small team. They have freaking Gortat, who plays 18 minutes a game, if that, and the rest is all Montrezl Harrell. They're a small team. So Crowder is a small ball player. He's a small forward who can play shooting guard, who can shoot the three, who can defend the perimeter. You want to play small ball players versus small ball teams, and you want to play bigs versus big teams. Last night, I saw the opposite, and I want to understand kind of where that came from. Maybe some of it is, oh, look what he's done the last three games. But it's not just what he did the last three games. It's who he played the last three games,
right,
that you have to be looking at. That's how you construct your lineups. And by the way, if a guy like Jay Crowder played three big teams the last three games, you pray for that because his price is going to drop. And then as soon as he gets into a small ball game, you lock that motherfucker in. There's no reason to play Derek Favors versus the Clippers. There's no reason. The Clippers are small. Favors is going to get phased out of that game. There was no reason to do it. So I want us to look at sim model and matchups and all. Yes, but you also have to understand the actual games and the opponents that those teams are playing before you start plugging in guys.
Yeah, exactly. And we that's why we talk so much about matchups. One of those, it's you've got to look at it and you've got to understand this is where knowing the game and not just looking at the numbers does really help us a lot. So,
yeah. Speaking of numbers, I went with, instead of Sexton, and I could have gone to Sexton, but I didn't like the play. I went to, DJ Augustine, and I was happy to go with DJ Augustine. Like I also looked at, you know, some of his recent history versus the Pistons. I'm like, I like it. The Pistons guards are horrible. Let's attack.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out exactly. So 46, 48. So I could have gone to DJ Augustine, and that would have made, it would have made either Justin Holiday or Al-Farouq Aminu my drop score. It wouldn't have won me the tournament or anything, but it would have, you know, it would have pushed me up a little bit more. So, all right, so let's get to it, shall we?
Yep.
Awesome. Fantastic-y-no. Point guards, got Russell Westbrook versus Lakers. He's 12-5.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about, man.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
The only thing I will add, it's also, and for some people, they don't think it's a big deal. I happen to think it is a big deal. It's in L.A.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not in L.A.?
It's in Oklahoma City.
Oh, it's in Oklahoma. I just saw that now. Okay. So that narrative's not there.
Okay, so right now, I actually have Kemba over Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid is questionable. So if Embiid does sit, that's going to change. I just want everybody to know this right now. Yeah. Right now, Ben Simmons is not an option for me in my player pool because of his price.
Right.
And Kemba is, in my opinion, in a better spot.
Right.
But as soon as Embiid is announced out or in, that's going to waver. So I just want everybody to be prepared about that. Okay, so let's get these Toronto Raptors injuries out of the way, shall we?
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry, out, rest. Kawhi Leonard, out, rest. OG Anunoby, out, personal. CJ Miles is questionable with a sore hip. He missed last night. Mm-hmm. I would tend to lean that he's probably more towards the out part than the in part, but it's just because I wouldn't really deal with hips. I wouldn't even try it. Plus, he's not an integral part of the rotation anyway. So, although he could be, actually part of the rotation with all these outs. So,
well, we just got a seriously chalk freaking power forward now. Great.
Yep. I know. I just saw it. That's what kind of shook me a little bit. Okay, so Fred VanVleet is going to be probably one of your chalkier plays of the day. Especially, he's going to be your chalky play at the point guard position. You're going to see a lot of Russell Westbrook, Fred VanVleet lineups. This is not a case in a scenario where I think that you have to play him. He's, I guess, pretty fairly priced at 5K. But I think you can get around it.
VanVleet?
Yeah.
It depends on what you're playing. So based on my lengthy conversation this morning in my channel, if you're playing any of those cash games 50-50s, I don't want to hear it. You play VanVleet and move on.
Yeah, he's a cash lock, no, guys.
He's playing Phoenix, guys. Like, just play him.
Yep. Yeah, it's not even a question there. And, I mean, he's a good play in tournaments, too. You can just – I have no problems with you locking him in and moving him on. But, you know, if I want to get, like, a Kemba Walker, De'Aaron Fox ping pong, obviously I can't play VanVleet.
Sure.
You know, if I want to get De'Anthony Melton in there, who I think is an interesting tournament play.
Yeah.
But it's...
I just kind of feel like I'm so... And I know this is bias and this is not something that we do in DFS.
Well, we try not to.
We try not to. But I'm so sick and tired of playing Phoenix, man. They just... have been costing me so much money. Every time I play them, I think they're going to actually stay into a game down by 1,000 at halftime. It's just very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it's getting to that point where it's Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and everybody else is just hope and pray. So, because they're not showing any sort of type of consistency. I mean, even Kelly Oubre was a letdown the other night compared to what, you know, mm-hmm. we know that he's capable of doing. So, any interest in, like, Chris Dunn against the Nuggets? I know we don't usually attack Nuggets at home.
I do. I mean, I think it's a great matchup for him. It's a fantastic matchup for him. You know, he's not super cheap. I mean, frankly, I would probably like prefer De'Aaron Fox, but who's more expensive? But yeah, I mean, I've got no issue with it.
Anybody else here at the point guard position? I know it's kind of cut and dry today. We're waiting on some news, and that's kind of the reason why.
Well, point guards?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I think, you know, we do have some Sixers news that we're waiting for. And the reason why Embiid has anything to do with point guards is because they tend to run TJ McConnell more when he's out, you know, and move everybody kind of over a little bit, go a little bit smaller. So that's the only thing that I'm looking at.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, you run 100 lineups and Van Vliet's shown up in 100 of them. So let's move to shooting guard here. Victor Oladipo kind of hasn't had that game yet since coming back from injury. I don't know if I love it. I don't know if I hate it, but I've got to think about it, you know?
You do, unfortunately. But just to be very clear, this is a tournament only play.
Yes.
Like he's not, don't play him anywhere else. But I think he's a good tournament play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at what Oladipo's done, he's been performing kind of like a $6,500 player. He's got the, you know, he went off against Chicago, but, you know, against some of these guys, he hasn't had to, I mean, he's still taking double digit shots and stuff, but like going 1 for 11 from the field against Phoenix, that was odd to watch. So, I mean, the minutes are there, everything's there. He's usually going to give you double digit, you know, around 18 to 20 points, but he's not scoring the 25 to 30 points that, you know, we want him to for him being at 8K.
Yeah.
So, my interest in Jimmy Butler purely relies on Joel Embiid, I think. As cliche as that might sound, I think that, especially after the game against Minnesota, where obviously emotions were a lot higher, this could be a letdown spot if everybody plays.
Yeah, it's going to be. Just like it was, you know, a couple games ago versus, you know, his old team. I'm like, why? There's no interest there. Yeah, it's his old team. I get the narrative, but everybody's there. Everybody's playing. He's their defensive guy. I mean, you know, he'll hit some threes and score a little bit, sure. But unless one of those guys miss, I've got zero interest.
Cool. Zach LaVine, we were on him all day, every day, the other day, or the other night, and it didn't quite pan out like we wanted it to. It wasn't bad, I guess. It was not what we thought it was going to be against the Lakers. It was kind of just bleh. Bounce back spot here?
I mean, look, I like the price. I don't like the matchup very much. I don't like going into Denver. I don't like, you know, who he'll likely be matched up with, either Craig or maybe Beasley or who knows, maybe Gary Harris. But I'm not sure. We have to wait and see. But so I don't like that as much. He's always going to be a tournament play for me because he's got that go bonkers potential almost every single game. I was hoping and not hoping, which is weird, I know, but that he would do that versus the Lakers because I played him so much, but he just didn't. So,
okay. What do we make of the shooting guard tandem between Hield and Bogdanović in Sacramento?
It's man, it's always so hard because. It's one or the other. It's always one or the other, and it's rarely both. But I mean, it can still be both, but it's rarely both. I think the advantage we have with Buddy, by the way, I'm okay with playing both, frankly, because of the matchup and because of the total. What's the totals gonna look like? Yeah, I didn't even look until now. It's the highest on the board. not by a lot. It's tied with New York and Washington, which does not going to matter because that's the day game for the main slate. And it's 2 points over, you know, Lakers Thunder. I want a lot of that game. I do. I want Fox. I want Kemba. I want Buddy. I want Bogdanovich. I want these guys. I think in terms of choosing, I'm not going to choose. It's a coin flip. So.
Okay, just to give you a couple stats, they just played Charlotte on the 12th of January. Buddy put up 21 shots in Sacramento, but he only shot 38% from the field with those shots. If he puts up 21 shots again, he's going to score 40, 45 fantasy points.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Buddy does not usually shoot under 40% a lot. In fact, there's only two games out of his last 10 where he shot that bad. You want to know what the last time that he shot that bad was? Against your Lakers on the 27th. Then he turned right around and faced them the very next game and upped it to 41%. But he's normally right there around 47, 63, 57, 50, 46, 62. And then you had 38, and then he bounced back and hit 70% of his shots. Like, this is a guy that shoots a high percentage usually from the field. And yeah. Like, the issue with Bogdanovich that I have is not that he doesn't have the capabilities to do so.
Sure.
It's just that usually if one of them's taking a lot of shots, usually the other one isn't, like you said.
Right.
But they both put up, I mean, Bogdanovich put up 17 shots against Sacramento too. And he was 4 for 7 from beyond the arc. I think if I'm playing this, I don't mind them both on either side, but I'm going to be higher on my personal exposures on Buddy on DraftKings than I am on FanDuel because Bogdanovich is $600 cheaper on DraftKings compared to the $200 on FanDuel. So it's an easier swap. Does that make sense?
I can see that.
So we told you to fade Dennis Schroeder the other night. I hope you did. Because it wasn't anything spectacular.
So. Yeah. I mean, again, not the same player, but it's a similar situation with Jimmy Butler. Like if one of those guys are missing, okay, cool, absolutely. But like, if he's not playing, then what's the benefit? Like, what would be different? I'll give you another example. Garrett Temple. Like, there's these guys that they play the same amount of minutes. They have the exact same role, provided everyone's healthy, no matter who they play. So having said that, like, what's changed for these guys? Nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what has changed with Dennis Schroeder.
Go ahead.
His shot's falling again.
Yeah, and that's fine, and I'm okay with that. I mean, but again, he still has the same role.
Right.
That's what
right.
I'm getting at. Like, it doesn't change. A guy hits a shot, his shots versus not, yes, cool. But you're still not going to get a 50, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for guys with the upside. And when George and Russ are healthy, you're not going to get 35 minutes from him.
Right. You're going to get right around 27 to 30. And he's priced fair enough. Like, you're not getting a discount on this guy enough in order for the 35 to really, really boost you. Like, he's 6,100 on FanDuel tonight. Now, if it were due to lack of options, then that would be something different.
Right.
But it's not at this position, not tonight. Let's talk about some of these value options, guys. KCP, obviously,
super cheap.
Yeah, super cheap. Especially if he stays in the starting lineup, be careful.
He is. He's confirmed.
Okay. Be careful with this. yes, the Thunder have been leaking 3 points from the last like six games.
But they got to fall.
But not only that do they have to fall, but they are a lot better of a defensive team at home than they are on the road.
They are. But I'm also going to tell you this, though. I think Paul George is going to be glued to Brandon Ingram, not KCP.
Oh, no. I agree with you at all. KCP is going to see a lot of Terrence Ferguson.
Yes.
And Hamidou Diallo and
Abdou
Nader as well. So
Hamidou.
Yep. The Danny Green, Dellen Wright combo. Yeah. For me, it's Dellen Wright.
Me too. Belch, this is where you play Wright.
Yeah, you are a day early, Belch. So we love you still the same. Any interest in like Malik Monk under 4K on FanDuel?
Probably not. I don't hate the spot per se. I don't hate the price neither, but ever since he went down, I think something's just not the same, not right with him. So I'm not there yet.
Okay. Let's move on to small forwards. Obviously the top player of the night is going to be Paul George. I went back and I looked at some of the film on that, and you know, one of the funny things was, you know, everybody was saying that Paul George was pressing and he was pressing and he was pressing. Well, I don't know how you can press at the beginning of a game and then not let it affect you for the rest of the three quarters. I don't think he was trying to do too much. I think a lot of what hindered him at the first rotation, basically,
yeah,
was not realizing how tight the refs were going to call it. He made two stupid fouls that, you know, they were borderline, but they were called that night, whereas in, you know, you go the next night, they wouldn't have been called. And that's one of the complaints that the players have with the refs, is there's no consistency from night to night. So a lot of it was learning what he could do with his hands on the defensive end, and that kind of took him out of rhythm. He couldn't be as aggressive. Yeah, he had some shots that weren't falling and stuff, but I don't think it was the pressing part. Then he turns around and just goes absolutely completely bonkers.
Ape shit.
Yeah. I also watched that game and realized that one Brandon Ingram looked a little bit out of sorts.
Yeah, I think the talk is getting to him. Guys, we got to remember he's 20 years old. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just giving you the reality. And the reality of the situation is he's 20 years old. And he's for you young guys out there, you'll take this the wrong way. But this is not meant to be the wrong way. He's a millennial, right? Sensitive about a lot of stuff. I get it. It's fine. I've got my sensitive side. It's fine. But when you're a professional and people are saying, oh, yeah, he's not going to be, you know, he's not very good. He's not what we expected him to be. He's a bust. All these kinds of stuff. He should be traded, blah, blah, blah. Coming from a Lakers fan, he should be traded. Not because I don't believe in his potential. I do. But because his match next to LeBron James doesn't fit. Now,
right.
I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't fit even without freaking LeBron James right now. But he's had his games where you're like, whoa, that's the Ingram I'm waiting for. Where he facilitates, he gets to the rim, he makes his shots, he passes, he rebounds, he does all. But And I take a step back and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm expecting a 20-year-old to do that every single night? Like, yeah, and I do expect it because you're second overall. You've been in the league for 3-4 years already, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, you're going to get tremendous value there. My point is he hears all that stuff. They're on Twitter all the time. They watch, you know, the sports news. They don't watch our show, but they watch, you know, ESPN and Fox News, Fox Sports, and they watch that stuff all the time, and they hear about it. So I think a lot of that chatter is getting to him. What I'm hoping happens is that, you know, Luke and Magic kind of go to him and say, hey, get that noise out of your head. You're not going anywhere. go out there and go kick some ass. And that's what I hope we see. But who knows? I mean, who knows? You know, we got to wait and see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, he only had 17 points the last game. Paul George, after his shot stopped falling, they kind of stopped worrying about, you know, guarding him one-on-one, and they started switching a lot. You found Paul George on Kyle Kuzma and Jeremy Grant on, you know, the Zubox, and, you know, he was on Brandon Ingram as well. Like, they didn't play him straight up the last game. If his shot's falling, if he comes out and he just starts going hot, then you're going to see Paul George on him. Like, it's just not even going to be a question. He got most of his points from the rebounds, from the assists, in there. So it's one of those situations, that is going to be an in-game adjustment for the Thunder, but I'm not going to have a lot of it. Like, I'm not going to have a lot of exposure to Brandon Ingram today just because of that. Could he do well? Yes, absolutely. But will he do well enough to pay off the price and the chalk that I think he's going to be at? I don't think so. I would much rather play other guys, especially on FanDuel where he's $7,300. Like, if you're going to play him, guys, and you're playing both sides, play him on DraftKings where he's $6,300.
Yep, so, fair enough.
Gary Harris, I don't know if he's going to play or not, so we're probably not going to talk about the Will Barton, Gary Harris situation. Norman Powell is $3,600. Just plug him in. He's chalk. So, yeah. I also don't mind a little bit. I also don't mind a little bit of the Nemanja Bjelica, but don't play him with Bogdanović or Hield. I wouldn't do that. So, but yeah. Those are your main options for today. I guess you could take a chance on Nicholas Batum in tournaments and, you know, stuff like that. But we're really waiting on what the Gary Harris news is. So
that's a big one.
Let's move on to power forward. Serge Ibaka, Pascal Siakam, they're both underpriced for the kind of usage and minutes that they're going to get, and the matchup with Kawhi out, with Kyle Lowry out, with possibly no CJ Miles, obviously no Jonas Valanciunas. They're going to be right there. So those guys, that's going to be your those are two of your chalkier plays at the position. You've also got another one, Bobby Portis.
Maybe a lot of chalk here today, man. I mean, like, Portis and Siakam, to me, like, I don't see how you don't play the both of them. I don't give a crap. I mean, yeah, there's other really good plays. I mean, I like Kyle Kuzma. I like a little bit of Lauri Markkanen. I even like Jeremy Grant a little bit. I like Bagley. I mean, there's all kinds of guys. I even like Marvin Williams a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the guys that I really like, but how do you not play Siakam at 6,700 and Bobby Portis at 4,800? Those are two guys that can give you 50.
Yeah,
I mean, like, no brainer.
Yeah, and for the price of, you know, not being, you know, 7,500. Like, I do like Kyle Kuzma as a pivot if you want to pivot to one of them, but I don't think you have to. Sabonis is an interesting option, but I mean, I think it's more, especially if Embiid's out, I think it's more of a Miles Turner type of game. I mean, there's a lot to love at this position tonight, and I think you can get away with not playing the chalk because there's so many good spots, but I don't think you have to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, and we've been talking about this for a long time. That, you know, not playing chalk for the sake of chalk is not the way to go.
Right.
You can if there is somebody, take a look here real quick. So Siakam is 6,700, right? If you want to play Paul Millsap instead, okay, I can get behind that. But if you're going to tell me, oh, I'm going to play Rashawn Holmes instead, that's not a pivot. That's stupid. Right? There's a difference.
Yeah, and what he means, guys, is Rashawn Holmes over Bobby Portis. because it's just not even a question. You don't play Rashawn Holmes over Pascal Siakam. That's like the only way that I. Okay, so I mean, conceivably here with guys like Jokic and Russ and say Embiid were to play, like, and Paul George, who's over 10K, like, mm-hmm. you're gonna have to save money somewhere,
right?
I don't really think that, you know, power forward is the place to do it because you've got guys like, you know, KCP, Norman Powell.
But I mean, also Keith, let's be honest. For who are like that scenario is one where you would want to do that because you can pay up, right?
Right.
There is no one else to pay up at the power forward.
No. What I meant was like paying like a Bobby Portis and a Rashawn Holmes is like playing two guys under 5K because and not playing gotcha. The guys up top because gotcha, you gotcha. Want to play up for a Paul George, a Nikola Jokic, and a Russell Westbrook in one lineup.
Understood.
Now, I haven't tried to actually construct that type of roster, so I could not tell you if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Yeah. But like that would be the only foreseeable and conceivable way I would say that you're not paying like one of these mid-tiers and one of these lower-tier yeah. guys.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to center. Do we get Moose tonight? Do we get a full complement of the Moose?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously we have a lot of waiting to do, right? But it is conceivably a position where you can pay down. Can. Not saying you should, but you can.
Yeah, it's...
Like, there's if a couple... Go ahead, sorry.
I was about to say, if we can get 22 minutes of Greg Monroe, I would absolutely love it.
Love it. Absolutely.
Especially in this matchup.
Particularly in this matchup. He's going to abuse Aiden. He's going to abuse Aiden.
Yeah.
Completely abuse him.
But, I mean, I could honestly see them playing him 18 minutes and running Siakam. Mm-hmm.
It's what likely happened, by the way.
Is what's his nuts back?
What's his nuts?
Chris Boucher.
Boucher. Bobby Boucher. I don't know. I don't see him.
He's not listed because he's not pulling a minutes projection. I'm gonna have to see if because he's one of their two way guys. I'm gonna have to see if he's with the team. Okay. So if he happens to be with the team, I might lose a little bit of interest in Greg Monroe. Because there's no telling exactly what they're going to... Because they like this kid. You know, Greg Monroe is what he is. He's a fill-in for a night like tonight. But if they bring up somebody for depth like that, I mean, I could honestly see Greg Monroe getting 15 minutes and this other guy getting 18 minutes, and then the rest of the time it's Pascal Siakam or Serge Ibaka. Which it'll be a lot of them both out there on the court at the same time anyways. I'm just saying, like, neither Boucher or... Greg Monroe on the court. So, Nikola Jokic, he's good at basketball. if you want to take the chance that, you know, if Embiid is out and you want to take the chance that he has one of his I'm not interested games, like we talked about with TJ McBride, where he, you know, lets the game come to him and he just tries to facilitate knowing that it's the Chicago Bulls and he doesn't need to assert himself, then I don't mind that in tournaments. I'm probably not going to be playing Jokic in cash, honestly, just too expensive. And, you know, I could get, you know, a good production out of Willie Cauley-Stein or Steven Adams or Miles Turner. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, man, because, this is the, so specific to FanDuel, which you guys all know that's where I play most of my games. This is the toughest position every single night because you only get one. And if you get one that goes 4x and there's one of them in the same range that goes 6.5 or 7 or freaking bonkers like Jared Allen last night, you're not going to be able to win any of these tournaments. So it's really, 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 really important that you get this right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not touching the Tyson Chandler, JaVale McGee, Willie Hernan Gomez. I'm not touching that slop down there. Not to call your boys slop. It's just such a like
Tyson. Yeah, it's a timeshare. It's
not a clear cut thing. It's a timeshare. JaVale McGee still overpriced. I guess if you wanted to take a shot on one of them, it'd be Tyson Chandler. But it's not a good matchup against Steven Adams. And guys, I don't want to hear anything about, you know, why did Alex Len go nuts against Steven Adams? We've talked about this over and over and over. For those of you that don't know, Steven Adams has trouble with the more athletic big men. This is one of the reasons why I said on the pod on Tuesday that if they started Amari Spellman, I was off and I would immediately go to Alex Len in that situation because he was going to get more of the, he was going to see Steven Adams less, which helps always. And he was going to get Patrick Patterson / you know, whoever else. Now, I will say this. Nerlens Noel has passed concussion protocol and he will be back tonight.
Yes. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes.
Very happy.
Yeah, that was scary. So, so he will be back tonight. So that allows
Steven Welcome back, Adams, Nerlens.
No kidding. That allows Steven Adams to kind of take a little bit of more of a breather. Now, he's still going to play his 34 to 36 minutes. Don't get me wrong. But if this game gets out of hand, which we don't predict, then, you know, Nerlens Noel, if you're going to play, let's see what his, I'm very curious on this. Okay, so Nerlens Noel is mid-price on FanDuel. If you're going to play Greg Monroe and you're stuck at a position and you want $3,500, unless we get word that Greg Monroe is going to creep up over that 20 to 22 minute mark, you can legit play Nerlens Noel in tournaments and he can compete for your drop. Mm-hmm. Because I promise you that if FanDuel knew that he was coming back today, he would not be min price.
Yeah. No, 100% agree.
So, alrighty. We covered a lot today, man. This was nice.
Yeah.
Good to be back. So
absolutely it was.
Little bit of housekeeping real quick. Want to let everybody know that we will have a pod tomorrow, being Friday. But on Monday, there are 11 games. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The NBA takes this as one of its showcase days. They spread games out throughout the whole day. There will not be a podcast that day. Okay. Look for the coaches' notes, look for everybody to kind of help out. We will be back after Friday, next Wednesday, the 23rd, on a 10-game slate. So pod tomorrow, pod next Wednesday, no podcast on Monday due to Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Sound good?
Works for me.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for paying attention and tuning in. Make sure you give us a like. Make sure you follow us. Spread the word, guys. We do this for free out of the kindness of our hearts. So the more viewers that we get, the more people we can get in the army, and the more tools we can bring to you. So for myself, for Bear, for the DFS Army, we gone.